episode number 6 of the WBH Radio Podcast. I'm your host, William Holly. Man, let's just get right into it. Told you we were going to try to do some cool things in the year 2018. Well, it doesn't get any better than this. Got a special guest with us here today. 2017 Home Run Derby champion, 2017 AL Rookie of the Year, Yankee right fielder, Yankee slugger, Aaron Judge. Judge, how you feeling today?
Well, I'm doing fantastic, brother. How you been?
Man, I'm excited to have you here, Judge. Truly appreciate it. Last season, I had the privilege of working inside the Yankee Travel Department, in and out of the ballparks with you guys every day. And what I learned is baseball's a long season. Man, how did you spend your downtime? What did you get into? Vacation, concerts? What'd you do this offseason?
You know, it was, man, like you said, it's a long season. It's a long year, you know. So for me, you know, we do so much traveling during the year. I like to keep it pretty simple and kind of stay at home for the most part. But, you know, I went to a couple concerts. You know, I went and saw J. Cole finally. I got to see J. Cole in concert and a couple other guys. And, you know, it was just mostly just spending time with family. You know, that's what's important to me is just spending some quality time with family they don't get to see a lot. And, you know, it was a quiet offseason for me, short and quiet.
Oh, that's good. J. Cole is actually somebody we had discussed in the clubhouse a few times. How was that meeting?
Oh, my goodness, man. It was an awesome experience, man. The coolest thing about it was he was just a regular guy. You know, you see all the stuff on TV. You see all the music he produces and everything he makes. But then once you get a chance to meet him, man, he's a regular guy that loves video games, loves sports. He's just a down-to-earth person. So that was probably the coolest part about it was just getting a chance to meet him and just kind of pick his brain a little bit.
Yeah, he definitely does give off that vibe. Let me ask you, did he send a Dreamville package? Did he send some shirts our way?
He did, man. I got a couple shirts to give you, man. I got to connect with you so I can hook you up with some gear, man. He hooked it up. So I got to get you something. I got to pay you back for the shirt you got me.
Oh, no doubt, man. That's greatly appreciated. We got Aaron Judge here joining us on WBH Radio. Now, Judge, in 2017, you really shot up to the top of the sporting world. We saw the energy behind you just grow day by day. Judge, tell me about a time when you first experienced or you first thought to yourself, man, how did I get here? Life is going to be a bit different from this point on.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to think back, but I think it just kind of hit me periodically throughout the year. Like there were certain like little moments I'd have, you know, either on the baseball field, kind of off the field doing things that it kind of just hit me. I was like, what happened? You know, what happened to a small little kid coming from a farming community in Northern California to, you know, being the right fielder for the New York Yankees, you know, from, you know, them building the judges chambers in right field, which was, I still can't believe, you know, it's such an honor, you know, especially from all the great Yankees that have gone through there. And then for me to get my own little piece of Yankee Stadium, it's something that, you know, it's such a blessing. I can't, words can't describe that, you know. And then even for me, the coolest thing is seeing little kids run around the stadium or kids, you know, in the streets of New York or even back here in California with, you know, 99 on their back. You know, that gives me chills seeing, you know, the fact that, you know, I get a chance, you know, impact so many young kids' lives and, you know, be a part of their lives. It's truly amazing.
Oh, yeah, the energy, it was amazing. And I was fortunate to have a front row seat to that. Speaking of that number 99, Judge, I had a true or false question for you. Is it true that the number 99 was one of the last numbers the Yankees had, and at first you weren't too fond of it?
Yeah. You know what? That's a tough true or false right there. You know, it is true. You know, it was one of the last numbers because it was my first spring training with the team. And, you know, usually a lot of the younger guys who aren't going to make the team and who are just kind of there for a couple weeks just to experience big league spring training, you know, they just got to give them like the 78, you know, the 86, the 92, the 99. So that was the number I got. It's probably because I was the biggest guy. So, you know, give them the biggest number, the biggest jersey.
Right.
So they gave me 99, but it kind of just stuck with me. You know, when I first saw it, I was like, you know, this is the first, you know, New York Yankee uniform I've ever gotten. And this is mine. This is number 99. Like, this is who I am. You know, I don't want to ever change this, you know. So once I got 99, I just kind of stuck with it. That's the first jersey the New York Yankees gave me. You know, I can't say no to that. I got to keep it, you know?
Oh, for sure. And it definitely looks great. Plastered all over the city, as you said, with the kids rocking the 99. We got Aaron Judge joining us here on WBH Radio. Now, Judge, I got to let the people know you're kind of like the clubhouse DJ. And for a young man from California, I think you do a great job. Your musical taste is very versatile. I want to know what the playlist is like nowadays. You know, what projects have your attention?
Oh, you know, it's kind of, it's funny you ask that. You know, I'm starting to get into, you know, I'm kind of in the decades right now. I'm in the 70s right now. You know, I got a 70s and the 60s right now. It's kind of caught my ear right now. You know, so I'm trying to go a little bit of disco, some soul. You know, I've been big on Earth, Wind, and Fire lately. You know, I'm just trying to, I'm looking for a new walk-up for next year. So I think I might go some Earth, Wind, and Fire. We'll see.
Mixing it up, I see. Speaking of that walk-up, last year you introduced me to Travis Scott's Butterfly Effect. I said, man, I got to start paying attention to Travis Scott after this. What are you guys looking for with the walk-up song? And, you know, how important is that for a batter when he's walking to the plate?
For each guy, it's different. You know, some guys like walk-up songs that kind of pump them up, you know, get them locked in the zone. You know, some guys like walk-up songs that kind of, you know, just put them in a good mood, you know, kind of mellow them out, just, you know, put them in a good mood. For me, you know, it's just, you know, I've always tried to, you know, I want the crowd to get into it. You know, I've always wanted to get a walk-up song, you know. You know, I'm already locked in. You know, when I'm standing on the plate, I'm kind of locked in. You know, I don't really hear too much, but, you know, I want to get a song that kind of gets the crowd going. You know, a song that's familiar to them, you know, something that kind of gets them amped up, you know, so every time they hear it, they know that, you know, so-and-so's coming up. You know, let's kind of get them excited, you know. So that's, for me, you know, hearing the Travis Scott song, Butterfly Effect, you know, something I heard on the radio a lot. You know, a lot of people liked it, and I kind of thought it'd be a good fit at Yankee Stadium. And I think the people enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely had the stadium rocking. Now, Judge, you definitely handle business on the field without a question. But I see you starting to handle business away from the diamond as well. Congratulations on your deal with Pepsi. We look forward to that partnership in 2018. But what I'm most excited about is you're going to be on the cover of MLB The Show 18. Judge, how was it when you learned you were in the running to be on the cover of a video game?
Well, it was pretty surreal for me, to be honest, you know, because as a kid growing up, you know, I'm big into video games. You know, that's something that my older brother kind of got me into at a young age. But, you know, I grew up playing MLB The Show. You know, I still got the old, you know, 07, 04. Like, I got the old games. And then, you know, not only to be in a video game, but to be on the cover of it, I'm speechless. You know, when they first approached me about it, you know, my agent came up to me and was like, hey, PlayStation's reached out about having you, you know, be on the cover of the show. Like, what's your interest level on that? Is that something you want to pursue? Do you want to do it? Do you not want to do it? And before he could even finish, I was like, yes, like, let's do it. Let's get this going. Like, I couldn't even believe this is an option. Are you sure they want me? Like, there's so many good players out there. Are you sure they want me? You sure they haven't made a mistake? But it was, it's something that's pretty cool. You know, I had fun, you know, doing a couple photo shoots with them, making some videos, and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product. But I think, you know, the only thing I'm upset about it, I feel like my player rating is a little off in there, man. They made my speed a little too low. You know, I feel like I'm a little faster than the speed rating they gave me. You know, oh. I gotta give them a call and let them know they gotta change some settings in there. So.
Right. Yes, for sure. It should be 99s across the board, everything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there we go.
But, Judge, growing up, my friends, we played Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball all day, all night on the gaming systems. Who was your favorite player growing up? Who were some of the guys you rooted for?
You know, I had a couple. You know, being from California and close to the Bay Area, you know, I watch the San Francisco Giants a lot. And, you know, Barry Bonds was probably my all-time favorite. You know, just, you know, what he did to baseball, he just changed it. Like, I had to watch every single time he steps to the plate, you know, or if he was a couple, you know, if he was on deck or something, I had to wait. Like, I couldn't wait. If it was late at night or what, didn't matter what time the game was, if Barry Bonds was stepping up to the plate, you know, I had to be there and watch him, you know. So, you know, Barry Bonds is a favorite of mine, you know, and I think a cool thing for me also was, you know, Matt Holliday. Matt Holliday was one of the players I watched growing up, and to get a chance to, you know, play with him last year and kind of pick his brain, be around, you know, such a superstar athlete, a, you know, humble person, you know, who plays the game the right way, played the game the right way for years, and was fantastic. It was such a cool experience for me, you know. So, you know, Matt Holliday, Barry Bonds were kind of the main, some of the main guys I looked up to.
Yeah, so that is special that you were able to share a locker with Matt Holliday. Again, another thing I had a front row seat to. the veterans really, really embraced you. That's kudos to you and the job you did. I'm going to get you out here on a few of these. I have one more true or false for you. Is it true that you were a high school football player playing a wide receiver slash tight end, and you earned yourself some Division I football scholarships?
Yeah, that is true. You know, I played football. I was a receiver in DN. It was actually a funny story about that. It was, you know, I never played football growing up. You know, I played basketball, baseball, I did soccer when I was younger. And then it wasn't until I was in eighth grade, the varsity football coach, you know, saw me at, I think it was like freshman orientation. He was like, "Hey, man, like what sports do you play and how can I get you on a football field?" And I was like, I play these sports. I never played football, but I'm a quick learner. You know, let's try it out. He's like, "You know what? You make a great quarterback. Let's get you out there and, you know, we'll have you throwing the pigskin around a little bit." So, you know, I didn't do it my freshman year, but my sophomore year I signed up. You know, I went out to the first practice and, you know, a JV coach kind of looked at me and I told him I wanted to be a quarterback. He said, "You know what, son? I'm going to have you stand all the way on that far side of the field. You're going to run 15 yards down. We're going to throw the ball up there. You're going to jump up, catch it, and we're going to repeat that play until we're in the end zone." You know, so, you know, my time as a quarterback, you know, it didn't last too long, you know, once they just put me out there a receiver. But I enjoyed it, you know. But the biggest thing for me, you know, I talked to multiple schools about football, but, you know, I just had such a love and passion for baseball at such a young age. You know, I kept, you know, drawn towards it. You know, I couldn't get away from it. So it was just, you know, something I loved, and, you know, it's showing today.
For sure. Judge, it seems like you had the athletic sewed up. But I'll ask you, if it wasn't a sports career, what do you think you'd be doing for a living?
Ooh, you know, that's a good one. You know, I think I'd be a teacher. You know, it kind of ran in the family. You know, my mom and dad are both educators, and also my older brother, he's overseas in Korea right now. He's being an English teacher. And, you know, so for me, I felt like I like teaching. You know, I like helping our youth. And for me, the coolest thing is, like, just seeing the passion in young kids' eyes when they're learning something, when they learn something new. And just helping people out, it's just something that I love to do, you know. So for me, you know, being a teacher would be just so rewarding for me.
Aaron Judge joining us here on WBH Radio. Judge, I want to get you out of here on this last one. I know you are somebody that takes great pride in being prepared, putting your work in the cage, putting your work in the outfield. As you look forward to this spring training, what are some specific areas of focus for you? What are some things you want to get out of the next couple of weeks here in Tampa?
You know, this past couple of weeks ago, you know, I had shoulder surgery. You know, so for me right now, just kind of rehabbing on that, you know, making sure my shoulder's ready, because it's different for me, you know, because in the minor league season, you know, we usually end in about September. And then, you know, I got September, October, November, December, January, February to get kind of get ready. But, you know, going straight into my first full season, you know, we have our little playoff run that we did and not really getting done till almost November. And then into November, I have surgery. You know, my off season was kind of cut short, you know, so I kind of feel like I'm behind a little bit. But, you know, the training staff we have here, the coaching staff we have here, they're going to help prepare me, you know. So for me, the biggest thing is just making sure I'm 100%, you know, come opening day. And for me, you know, some of the things I kind of want to work on is just, you know, stay consistent at the plate. You know, defensively, you know, making sure, you know, my first steps are quick in the outfield, you know, so I can make plays for the, you know, CC and Sonny Gray, all those big dogs on the mound, you know, who are pitching their butts off, you know. Right. So for me, it's just about the little things. You know, if I can just fine-tune the little things in my swing, fine-tune the little things in my first steps on defense and, you know, base running, you know, it's just the little things for me are what really go the longest.
To keep up with Aaron, you could catch him on Twitter, on Instagram, at TheJudge44. Be on the lookout for MLB The Show 18, available March 27th on PlayStation. But you can pre-order your copy today wherever games are sold. New York City, Yankee fans, baseball fans, let's get behind this guy. We got us a special one. Aaron Judge, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, Will, thank you for having me, man. You know, much love, and have a good one, all right?
All right, take care. Yo, did that really just happen? Did that really just happen? Did the great Aaron Judge, Yankee right fielder, AL Rookie of the Year, Home Run Derby champion, record holder for most home runs in a season by a rookie, that that gentleman just joined my humble little podcast. Yo, I'm about to get emotional in the booth for real, yo. For real. It's been a long journey to be able to have a special relationship like that. I go back to my time in the military, you know, back in 2005 when I was a U.S. Army soldier deployed to Iraq, wondering if I would ever make it back to New York City. You know, fast forward to my time working as a limo driver. Again, not the most glamorous of positions, but I thought if you got up every day and worked hard, you never know what could fall your way. And it was working as a limo driver where I would meet my eventual supervisor, the gentleman who would give me an opportunity to work with the Yankees organization, and that's Yankee traveling secretary Ben Tulowitz. The great Ben Tulowitz, might I add. Quick note on Ben. Ben is one of the most cool, fair-minded individuals I've ever met in my life. You see, most people want to know what status you have or what's your tax bracket, and they use that to determine how they treat you. Oh, you're rich and famous? Okay, I'll be nice to you. Well, you're not? Well, we won't give you much attention and energy. But Ben wasn't that way. He wants to see everybody win. Whether you're a Hall of Famer walking through that clubhouse or you're the lowly limo driver like myself. So special shout out to the great Ben Tulowitz for sure. But yeah, I was working in the Yankee travel department for the 2017 season. You know, running around with the Yankees, having a ball. Then my time came to an end. I said, yo, I really want to try my hand at this sports media, this podcast. I thought I could offer some unique perspectives and maybe some stories. You know, again, having been a U.S. Army veteran, having played Division III basketball, working with the Yankees, working in the Rangers organization, thought I could offer some cool tales, I guess. So I reached out to Aaron Judge, and I asked him, hey, man, you think you'd be up for an interview? And when I sent the text, I kind of closed my eyes and was scared to look because I wasn't sure what the reaction would be. And he hit me back like, yo, Will, of course, we could get that done. I was like, dang, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. Because recently, comedian Steve Harvey, radio show host, TV show host, Steve Harvey's doing everything. Steve Harvey caught a lot of flack recently because he wrote a letter to his staff basically saying, hey, you guys are asking too much of me when we're at work. You know, he wrote a letter like, yo, guys, leave me alone. And he caught a lot of flack for that. But when I saw that as an indictment of his staff. Because if you ever got to work around talent like Steve Harvey or athletes like Judge, you understand the workload that they have. You understand that the demand the public has from them. You understand they need to go out and perform on the field. They have a lot on their plate. So if you're a support staff, somebody that works closely to them, you don't want to add anything else to it. So Judge would have been well within his right if he said, nah, well, that's not really what I want to do right now. But he gave me a shot. And, you know, we tried to put it together. Schedules didn't work out. So I said, yo, I'm going to fall back, man. I know his offseason is busy. You know, 2017 was a year like no other. I'm sure he's running around. So I'm going to fall back. And then, boom, just like that, he hit me. Yeah, yo, Will, we still got to get the interview done, right? I'm like, yeah. So we banged it out. And that's just a testament to how special that young man is. Aaron Judge, thank you. And hopefully that's the beginning of some more special things that we can do here. Did y'all hear that Aaron Judge story? Not the Aaron Judge story. The J. Cole. He got to meet J. Cole, man. That was cool. That was cool because I know he's really a fan. I'll tell you a quick story. I was walking through the clubhouse, and I heard J. Cole playing. I'm like, dang, who got the J. Cole playing? So I said, yo, Judge, that's you? He's like, yeah, man, I really like that album. And this is when I was like literally going to the J. Cole concert the next day. He had two dates at the Barclays. Forget what month that was. I said, yo, Judge, I'm about to go to J. Cole tomorrow, bro. He was like, word, son. He's like, yo, man, bring me a T-shirt or something. I'm like, yo, that's easy. So I brought him back a T-shirt. Next thing you know, Judge is taking BP with a For Your Eyes Only tour shirt. So in the interview, you hear, it's like, yo, Judge, did he drop off the package? And Judge was like, yeah, man, I gotta get some shirts to you. So that was cool. That's cool. Shout out to Jermaine Cole. Man, I hope to catch a few people off guard with this one, yo. I think we're going to catch a few people off guard. They're going to be like, Aaron Judge sat down with who? But I go back to this line Hove had. He said, I never searched the net. No, I never been on MySpace. Too busy letting my voice vibrate, carving out MySpace. Like, yo, I don't have the social media footprint that I would like to, or the social media impact, but we really out here trying to put a little work in the trenches. But with that being said, please follow me on Instagram, on Twitter, at WBH Radio, and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Be right back. Welcome back to episode number 6. I'm your host, William Holly. Got my boy in the building with me today. DA, what up?
Man, it's good to be here, man.
Good to have you here, man. Want to run through a few things. Yo, last week we recorded prior to the NBA trade deadline. And at that point, the Cleveland Cavaliers were struggling. Not only on the court, but in the locker room too. The environment around them was just toxic. I mean, news stories were coming out every day. Isaiah Thomas was taking a blowtorch to the whole organization. I mean, talking about coaches not making adjustments. We learned about that team meeting where he went after Kevin Love. I mean, I think there was even a huddle with Tyronn Lue left because he was sick. Like, it just looked bad. You know, many people's question, yo, is this going to be the year LeBron doesn't even make it to the finals? Then the NBA trade deadline came, and boom, just like that, the Cavaliers are back in the hunt. They got rid of a lot of players who I thought weren't contributing. Derrick Rose was gone. D. Wade is gone. Jay Crowder is gone. And they filled those holes with young, hungry players who I think really complement LeBron James. Let's take a look at it. Isaiah Thomas. You traded one guard for a starting guard in George Hill, who could knock down the three, who could handle the rock, who could defend, and a backup combo guard in Jordan Clarkson, somebody who can go get his own basket. And we know LeBron could be offensively challenged that time. He needs somebody like that. They also added Larry Nance Jr., an athletic interior player who could run the floor, finish at the rim, block some shots, kind of like Tristan Thompson before the Kardashians. And I really like the addition of Rodney Hood. Rodney Hood, shooter, 6'8", slasher. Again, another athletic young man who's ready for the spotlight, ready to play under the big lights. He's been buried in Utah for all these years. So when I saw those moves, I was really excited. Like, yo, this is a good move. Then I seen him play 2 games. They went into Boston and rolled over Kyrie and his crew. Tuesday night, they went to Oklahoma City, beat Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Melo, a team that scored 148 points on them not too long ago. Yo, I'm all in on this Cleveland Cavaliers. You could book it. They in the finals in June. But my man DA texted me when the trade first went down, and he was kind of like puzzled. Like, yo, well, why is everybody excited about this? I mean, explain to me how this makes the Cavs better. So, D, I want you to walk me through what you thought when you first saw the trade go down. And now that you've seen them play 2 games, what do you think of the team?
Exactly what you just said. I text you. It's like, I think they lost the best player in everybody that's been traded. IT.
Isaiah Thomas.
Remember, LeBron be taking games off, right, giving you 12 points. So, they were IT. That was IT place to give you the 25-30 when needed. I thought he lost that. I watched the first 2 games, I realized they're better. But I'm going to keep my pom-poms in my pocket. I'm not right. Pulling it out yet.
Right.
Boston's been struggling the last couple of weeks. And they're a very young team.
Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, they hadn't played that much gaming. Jason Tatum never played 40 games in his life.
And you know what? I think they played the most games before the half.
Yeah. So I think
you're not too impressed by that victory. You thought
I thought Celtics been struggling. They lost to Toronto, beat the brakes out of them. And then OKC, Melo was just coming back, and then Russ was coming. Russ didn't have a rebound in the first half. Like, he had 0 rebounds in the first half. So I thought, okay, what's going on?
Right.
I think they're better. I see the way they play. I saw Jordan Clarkson coming in and getting 14 and Hood getting 14, 15. That's things you'll never get from Shump.
Right.
Or get
right.
from, you know, D-Wade wasn't giving you these kind of numbers. So I get it. But I'm going to keep my pom-poms in my pocket till Boston pick it up again. And, you know, we going to see.
Yo, you heard it. D.A. say he's keeping his pom-poms in his pocket. But, yo, D.A., you got to admit, the environment, like the huddle, the guys seem to be excited. The handshakes are a little bit more firm. There was footage a few weeks ago, and a teammate, Jay Crowder, just walked over Kevin Love when he was on the floor.
Yeah.
Do you think the chemistry is better, and even that alone could just make them a better team?
Well, it's two games.
Two games.
Right. When they lose three games, that's when we're gonna see the real deal. When they hit some type of adversity, somebody gets injured. What's going to happen? They're not going to – okay, they're going to go straight through the East and win the championship.
Yeah.
It's going to be LeBron's year.
All right, we got D.A. on record. He's keeping his pom-poms in his pocket. But, yo, this dude LeBron got, like, nine lives, man. I thought he was dead in the water. He got some phenomenal GMs. D.A., I didn't think they would be able to pull this off. And we know about the battle between LeBron James and upper management, Cleveland Cavaliers owner Dan Gilbert. Like, we know there's been a tug of war. LeBron wants the organization to do certain things, but Dan Gilbert says, nah, we ain't doing it unless you sign on to us long term. So I was surprised that they actually made the moves. But now that I think about it, I think, like, yo, that's a way for Dan Gilbert to just sit back and say, turn to the fans and say, yo, look, I did my part. Now it's on King James. I think this puts Dan Gilbert in a position where he wins regardless. If the Cavaliers win the championship, we get to sit back and watch the commissioner hand the trophy over to him. If they lose, he get to sit back and say, yo, I did my part. And just like the rest of the world, point the finger at LeBron James.
Regardless of what happens, people are going to make an excuse for LeBron. I don't think LeBron does whatever he wants in the NBA. To piggyback on what you just said, you're right. They did everything. They got younger. They got more athletic. You know, they got better defensively. So you think the people out there, I'm not talking about the GMs or the NBA players or whatever. You think the typical LeBron fans going to tell you, well, we lost the championship. We didn't get to the finals because of LeBron? Nah.
Nah, they always give him a pass.
They give him a pass. Again. And that's the difference between me and everybody else. I like basketball first. People want to be fans first. Like,
be fans, yeah.
Like, I like basketball, so I think LeBron is amazing, but I think he gets too much passes.
You're not convinced. We heard it here. My man D is not convinced, man.
I'm going to just wait a little bit. Give him 10, 15 games, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to tell you what it's really like.
Right. But, yo, when they acquired Isaiah Thomas, D, I thought that was the perfect trade. Like, yo, he's going to give you 20 just like Kyrie did. What happened there?
They're different players. That's not exactly what they did. They swapped different guards,
right.
Isaiah for Kyrie. But they're two different players. Kyrie can finish. IT's not going to slash, get bounce passes, and finish around the trees. Kyrie could spot up and just shoot open threes, you know, in spurts. So he'll get his 25 because he could finish.
But, yo, Isaiah Thomas, man, he was an MVP candidate last year. He was the leading scorer in the fourth quarter last year. Like, yo, we thought this dude was about to get a max contract. Now he seems to be a bit exposed. Now they talk about he's too little. He's a defensive liability. Yo, D, I'm worried about him. Again, this guy was in line for a max contract. Now they talking mid-level exception. Now they talking, like, yo, he's a backup guard to Lonzo Ball. What happened, man? That's a big fall from grace. Is he going to be all right? What's his offseason going to look like? Somebody going to pay him?
If somebody pays him, I won't be mad at them. Because I think he could play. Like, he was number five. He was top five in the NBA MVP votings last year. He does deserve a max contract. If he gets it, I won't be mad.
Nah, man. Now he has that reputation of being a bad locker room guy.
Why? Why we say that? Everybody in Boston loved him. Then he had the Cavs was just an unfortunate situation.
But you learn about people when adversity strikes, and it seems like he showed his true colors. But coming off that Boston season, I think he could have convinced the GM, hey, give me a max deal. But now I don't think so. Especially when you've seen a player like Lou Williams just sign a contract. Lou Williams is scoring at a high clip, killing everybody this year. He got $20 million for 3 years. So Isaiah Thomas went from king of the hill to now he's just one of those players. Lou Williams, Nate Robinson. Like, that's hard to swallow, man. That could be $190 million loss.
That's embarrassing that you just called Nate Robinson and IT in same breath. I thought
better. Look at IT the first half of his career, D.A. Outside of that year he had in Boston, he is Nate Robinson. He played for the Kings. He played for the Suns. He could come off the bench, give you some scoring, but that's it. He's not somebody you bet the house on. He had a great year in Boston, and now the way that looks, it just looks like they had a great setup, and they were able to hide him. But D.A., when I look at it, I don't see much difference than Nate Robinson.
He was top five in MVP voting. That's a big difference. I don't know what you're talking about. Nate Robinson played in every system in the league. He was never top five.
He never played for Brad Stevenson. Brad Stevenson in the Boston Celtics. I don't know, man. That 1 year he had is really looking like an anomaly now.
I think the year before that he had a decent year. I don't know the numbers, but I could look it up. The year before that he had an okay year. Last year was amazing. And even with the Cavs, he showed flashes. Remember the first game? He had a good game. Everybody was excited, like, ooh, who's Kyrie? We got IT now. The first game when he came back off an injury, everybody liked him.
What, for the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Yeah. It just never materialized into anything. Like, they just, you know, it's just a bad team. Like you said, they had a bad vibe. They were talking about, you know, a lot of bad energy. So, I'm not gonna say IT's Nate Robinson after 15 games with the Cavs. I'm not gonna do that to him, man. I'm gonna give him some time. I'm gonna see whoever pays him. He gets that contract, whatever. Then we gonna see. But I think he's a good ball though. I think he's a ball player. You don't lead the NBA in fourth quarter because of Brad Stevens. He could play.
All right, we'll see. Well, to your credit, when he showed up in LA, his first game, where he scored 22 points off the bench,
he could play.
He
man.
Could definitely do that scoring thing. He could definitely do that scoring thing. I just was saying that I think what he was in line for after Boston, after coming off a year where he played, where his sister just passed, I think his stock has fallen dramatically. Now he's backing up rookie guard Lonzo Ball.
That don't sound right, man.
Lonzo Ball. He's back in the news, but well, his dad really. LaVar Ball, he made a comment where he said, yo, my son may not re-sign with the Lakers. He's going to sign with any team that's going to be willing to take on all three of his boys. Now, you know he has two sons playing pro ball in Lithuania right now. Yo, I've really had no issue with LaVar Ball. I thought he's always been entertaining. But, yo, D, what do you think of this? These comments, man? Is it too much? Is he starting to mess with the money?
Either Kardashians or the NBA. He's looking for clicks now. Every time he goes quiet for him, we don't talk about him. Lonzo is injured. We don't, you know. He just needs something to come back in the news. He said previously it's entertainment. He a clown. I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to him saying he's a clown, but he's just putting on a show. So if you want to be a fan, you can be a fan and do that. If not, man, like me, I'm not interested in LaVar, man.
But listen, what do you think of people saying the organization should try and trade his son now because of his dad's comments? Yo, D.A., this is big business. If you can't handle people saying little comments, Magic Johnson has run all type of business. There's hostile takeovers. There's newspaper articles with people coming at you. That would be mighty weak of an organization to give up on a number two draft pick or number three, whatever he was, because of his dad's comments?
They got 3 years. If he next year he comes out and he's top five in the league in assists and he's doing his thing, they're not going to trade him for anything. But you're not going to stick around and carry all this baggage for nothing, though. So I think they got some time to figure it out, to see what's up. If not, man, I won't stick around, have him have an average guard just to deal with LaVar. Nah, I'll get rid of him.
Let me ask you this. Should the Lakers organization step to LaVar Ball and say, yo, man, chill out?
I think they could. They have that relationship. Like, he's courtside every game. Like, they have that relationship. Does Lonzo has an agent?
Yes, he does, actually.
Who?
Forget the guy's name. It's a young black dude. I forget how they know each other. He's from the California area, but yeah.
Oh, okay. But I'm saying, all we know is LaVar. LaVar basically is the face of Lonzo's, the whole Lonzo Ball. It's LaVar. LaVar actually is bigger than Lonzo, if you come to think about it. He's his own brand. So we're supposed to tell him, yo, chill out a little bit. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you shut up. I'm not telling you don't mention. Yo, just take it down a notch. Why Magic can't tell him that?
Do you think his son is weak? Do you think the Lakers organization should step to the son and say, yo, can you please quiet down
your dad? That's because that's nothing to do with Lonzo. Lonzo will get better. Work on your jump shot. You know, it's a 19-year-old kid. You know, you're trying to break a family up? For what? Just let the kid be. Just tell LaVar, yo, come on, man. What you doing? What you talking about? Talk to me. You got a problem?
Yeah, I love LaVar, though. I think he's really just challenging the establishment.
He's fun.
With the sneaker contracts and now with the Lakers organization. And he always said, like you said, it's entertainment. Real life is not knowing where your next meal comes from. So I think they all sit back and get a quick laugh and chuckle at how his little comments send the world into a frenzy. I think they having just a ball doing that. And the Lakers need to just man up, man. Just weather those storms. Somebody's talking about you. If that's the worst part of your day, life ain't that bad. Life ain't that bad. But we'll see. He's supposed to be coming back after the All-Star break. He's been injured for some time.
Yeah. I'm actually excited about Lonzo, the player.
Yeah, he's exciting.
He's a nice kid. He got a little bit of old school in him. He don't try to do nothing crazy. Right. He looks like a good kid. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, though.
But also with those Cavs trades, D-Wade ended up back in Miami. Home sweet home. D.A., what'd you think of D-Wade back in Miami? I know it's good for business. They had jersey orders from 100 different countries. The sales is up 8,000%. But D.A., talk to me about the basketball. Does it make sense? Can he help him? What's it looking like?
Let me ask you one question. Name me one player that's on the Miami Heat bench right now.
Yo, D, I couldn't even name a starter right now, bro.
He could help them. Like, he definitely could help them. Like, he's not the player, you know, he's not Flash anymore. You know, he's Flash in the wheelchair. Yeah.
I forgot about that nickname.
Yeah, he's Flash in the wheelchair. But he could still play. Like, he could still have an impact on the game. Like, especially with this young group. And they're messing around. They're trying to mess around and get, like, a 8th spot or a 7th spot. You never know with the East. So he could definitely come and help them win a couple games.
But I want to switch gears to talk about this Coach Steve Kerr, the Golden State Warriors. The other day against the Phoenix Suns, Steve Kerr allowed his players to kind of coach during a timeout. We saw Draymond Green grab the clipboard and draw up some plays, Andre Iguodala. And many questioned, was that disrespectful to the Phoenix Suns? In fact, Jared Dudley came out and said it was disrespectful to the Suns.
Man, tell Jared Dudley mind his business. Like, a lot of things in the NBA be puzzling me. Like, that's mind your business. Do your job. You're supposed to come in and represent the Phoenix Suns. Like, don't worry about whatever Golden State is doing. Don't worry about that. Why you care so much about who's coaching? What if they lost the game? What would they say?
Right, right. And people got to understand, Steve Kerr is a product of both Phil Jackson, former coach for the Chicago Bulls. Steve played over there in Chicago. And Greg Popovich, San Antonio Spurs coach. Greg Popovich does this all the time. Does this all the time. I remember one time they asked Warren Sapp, defensive player for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They asked him what he thought of Terrell Owens and his antics. And Warren Sapp said, yo, if you don't like the way the man dance, keep him out the end zone. That's it. Real simple. Fact. Stop trying to control what the opponent does, man. I really think that's a weak point that we see today in sports. The opponent didn't respect me. Yo, respect yourself and get better and don't get blown out by 46 points.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I need to give a good explanation. He's like, he was trying to reach these guys. And they wasn't – this Steve Kerr, he was like, yo, I don't know. They're getting, you know, lackadaisical a little bit. So he's like, I'm going to try something new. And that's good for him and his team. And actually, it's worked. They came out guns blazing. They was winning close games against the Mavericks.
Right, right.
So they was kind of sputtering, like, to the finish line, kind of, to the All-Star break.
Right. And yo, that's you bring up a good point. That actually was a coaching move that worked.
Yeah.
You know, NBA seasons are long seasons.
It's very long.
You know, I talked to you about being a part of Yankee staff last year. The game was such a small part. We on the same airplanes. We in the same hotels. We eat. We tired of looking at each other. So Steve Kerr understood that his voice was becoming like kind of like white noise. So he put a player in there. Put one of the guy's peers in there. And that was a great tactic. That's a good point you brought up there, D.A. All-Star game this weekend. If you had to bet, D.A., are these dudes going to compete or what?
LeBron said they're going to compete. He's looking forward to it.
He said that?
Yeah, he said that after the game yesterday.
From the tip?
He said, yo, I'm looking forward. The fans, owe it to the fans. But, man, I don't think I'll be looking at it, though. You going to tell me about it?
Nah, I don't believe it, man. Maybe Twitter get cooking and we get something from there.
Yeah.
But I see the Migos are performing, so somebody call me when they come on so I get my Versace on. But that's about it. But, yo, episode number 6, my man Derrison Anthony.
Thanks for having me, man.
Follow us on Twitter @WBH Radio, on Instagram @WBH Radio. We out.